Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas, has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Today's message is part two of What is Blocking the Father's Favor. Here's Pastor Steve.
I look up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the favor. God does that for you. But you've got to understand that God wants you to say thank you. Thank you for the favor. See, these signs are God's favor to you, so don't ignore them. And the more you acknowledge them, the more favor you will get. Now, that's not what the sermon is about. The sermon is about what's blocking your favor. There are many people not experiencing the benefits of God's favor. So let me just share just a few things that may be blocking a favor. Number one, disobedience to God's word blocks divine favor. And in Deuteronomy 11:26, God says, I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey my commands, but a curse if you reject my commands. If you don't obey me, there'll be a curse. Now, a curse is an invisible barrier to blessing and favor. See, favor is a direct result of obeying God. You've got to be pleasing God to get favor. Let me give you number two. Unforgiveness will block God's favor in your life. In Matthew chapter 6 and 14, it says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. 15. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. How many of you know you're not going to heaven if you got sin in your life? You better forgive that person. You better forgive everybody. And that's will unblock your favor. Number three, receiving communion in the wrong way blocks divine favor. In the early church, God instructed them to be very careful on the way that they administered and received communion just for that reason. Jesus instituted how we should receive it. Communion is to be taken reverently, remembering the suffering and the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ for our sins. You have to be in right standing with God. You have to be a child of God to receive communion in the correct way. Do not take communion if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. Let me say more. In Matthew chapter 26:26, it says, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it, and he broke it into pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. And then he goes on to say in verse 27, and he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. He goes on to say, it is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. So you understand that Jesus Christ established communion, really saying, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give my life to the Lord on your behalf sacrificially. This represents my blood. This represents my body. And it's going to be a covenant that brings you back to God. And you should always take it in reverence. In fact, remember me when you put to remember my suffering. Remember my death. This is a reverent thing. Now, listen to the problem that was going on in the early church. First, there was a lack of reverence and unity among the congregation during the communion service. Secondly, some were consuming the bread and the wine without recognizing their significance. And then they also treated communion as a regular meal rather than a sacred observance. And this is one of the reasons why we really don't want our little children to partake of communion, because it's not safe for them to do that. Now, You have to judge his parents and see, do they really have a working relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not saying they believe in Jesus Christ. I said, do they have a working relationship with Jesus Christ? There's a difference. Because the Bible says faith without works is dead. Is that door still locked? Okay, good. A working relationship means that they obey the Bible and they obey their parents. The Bible says, thou shalt honor your father and your mother. That means obey your father and mother. This is one of the first commandments with divine promise. Young people, I'm so glad you're here. You want to be blessed? Obey your parents. But they're wrong. It's okay. It's okay. God will take care of that. You obey the word of God. See? And as you obey, the Bible says, you will live a long life. God will extend your life. The people, the older people you see in this church and the people, older people you see that are the saints of God, they obeyed their parents. All of the missing people, well, it could have been. Could have been, can't say for sure, but the Bible says when you obey your parents, God will extend your life. Now listen to how God used the Apostle Paul to warn the early church to clean up their communion services. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, he said, every time you eat this bread, and this is basically what he's repeating what the Lord said, and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death and his return. Verse 27, so anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, wait, is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's pretty serious. That's like you put him up there and then you spat on him. See, you don't want to do that. Now, let me tell you, if you do that, what happens? And what had happened in the early church. Verse 28. So Paul goes on to say, and this is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. You should check your motives. Check your attitude. Check your reason for receiving this. Because if you eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, obeying him, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. How many of you want to drink God's cup of wrath? Nobody's got their hand up here. I don't blame you. And then he explains what happens to those who make the mistake of not honoring the sacrifice of Jesus Christ the right way. Verse 30 says, that is why many of you are weak and sickly, and some have even died. You have to take God seriously when he says things like this in the Bible. You know, a lot of us have loved ones and friends and acquaintances, and we don't know why they're sick. We don't know why they're dying. We don't know what the deal is. Sometimes the doctor doesn't even know. But sometimes there's a spiritual reason for it. Some of it can be found right in this word. These people didn't have to be sick initially, but because they took communion in the wrong way, it blocked their favor and it gave them judgment. Let me give you the last one. Number 4, refusing water baptism as God requires blocks divine favor. I want you to listen to this. Two sacraments in the church that Jesus established for the church to perform are communion and water baptism. Christian baptism is not a baptism of repentance. Now, remember when John the Baptist came, his baptism was a baptism of repentance. Repent, for the Lord is coming. And those people said, the Lord is coming. Oh, I've been bad. I'm a sinful person. And they went and they were baptized saying, well, I'm sorry. That's repentance. And I'm willing to turn in the other direction. Okay, that's not Christian repentance. Jesus had not died yet, so it wasn't Christian repentance. But now when Jesus came, Jesus established it. In Matthew chapter 3 and 13, it says, when Jesus came from Galilee to John the Baptist at the Jordan to be baptized by him, John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. You coming to me for baptism, Lord? I need to be baptized by you. But now please listen. Jesus answered and said, permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus have sin in his life? No. So he wasn't coming under John's baptism of repentance. He was coming to establish Christian baptism. And even listen to his own words. He says to him, permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us. Not for him. For those who would follow him as his followers. To do what? To fulfill all righteousness. Now listen to this. When he was baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And guess what happened? You know the story. The heavens were open to him, and he saw the Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove and landing on his shoulder. And the next thing that happens to him, the Bible says, and suddenly a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, folks, this is important because many times when we read the scripture, we don't connect the dots. See? And to overemphasize the importance of New Testament baptism is not even possible. I am emphasizing it in this message because God has given us a revelation. And that revelation is that all three persons of the Godhead and the Trinity was endorsing water baptism. Jesus was in the water. The Holy Spirit came down like a dove, sat on his shoulder, and God spoke. What did God say? Wait. God said he was well pleased, but what had just happened? He had been baptized. See, we're thinking, oh, he was well pleased that he came. No. He was well pleased that he was being baptized. Put it in the right context. Baptism is something that the Trinity is saying you better have. Because if Jesus went through it, and the Holy Spirit is behind it, and the Father approves of it, why aren't you baptized yet?
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. In this changing world, it is more important than ever to connect with the wisdom of God's Word. The Bible tells us, how can a young person keep his life pure? He can do it by holding on to your Word. I wholeheartedly search for you. Do not let me wander away from your commandments. The Bible reminds us that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word never changes. Many want to conform to this world system to be accepted. However, God provides the right counsel and wisdom for life. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that is alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Why aren't you baptized yet? Well, my church, they said, you know, it's a either or thing, it's an optional. Guys, it's not optional. Jesus told us. Jesus was straightforward. John said, you don't need this. If you do, baptize me first. Jesus said, no. Permit it to be so. Why? To fulfill all righteousness. Some of you just got some righteousness. God requires all righteousness. That's why they all showed up. See, Jesus told us in Christian baptism that we must be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. See, when you're baptized, you are fulfilling what God requires. Without water baptism, you have not fulfilled it. So you say, well, does that mean I won't get to heaven? I don't know a scripture in the Bible that says if you are not baptized, you are going to heaven. Now you say, well, the Bible says in John 3:16, if all who believe in Jesus, all who believe in Jesus. Can I just tell you, revelation of God unfolds. It continues. So do you know who said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? Of course, it was the Holy Spirit, but he used John the Baptist. John the Baptist was giving us a revelation about Jesus, but his baptism was unto repentance. Christian baptism is not under repentance. It is unto the fulfillment of all righteousness. Some people say, well, the thief on the cross, that's my answer. He wasn't baptized. No, he was not baptized. It was inconvenient. He was on the cross. He couldn't be baptized. But even his baptism, which one would it have been? One of my students out here. Jesus had not died yet. What baptism will he have been baptized by? Repentance. Jesus established the Christian baptism. And when Peter on the day of Pentecost is preaching, the people are convicted to their hearts and they say, what should we do? He said, repent and be baptized. Was he talking about John's baptism? No, because John was dead. John was the only one baptizing into repentance. See, when the Holy Spirit came, it was a different revelation. John's baptism was repentance to bring the people to get ready for the Lord coming. But when the Lord came, he did not get baptized to repentance. He had no sin. He established Christian baptism. And the Father and the Holy Spirit showed up to say, now this is how you get baptized, and you must be baptized. Why, Jesus? To fulfill all righteousness. Some of you haven't fulfilled all righteousness, but you believe you're going to heaven. I can't find a scripture in the Bible that says you're going to heaven. And I'm not saying you're not. I just said I do everything by the book. As you know, lots of scriptures. You say, well, it's okay. It's okay. No, listen to me. It's not okay. Because after Jesus died and rose from the grave, that was the way we were all supposed to be baptized. It was never repentance anymore. It was Christian baptism. When you're totally immersed in water, that's what it means to be baptized. The Greek word is bapto. It means you completely go down in the water and you come back up. They did away with John's baptism after John died or he was murdered. And I want to prove it to you in Acts chapter 19 and 3. Paul talks about this. Listen to what he says. He asks some Christians, what baptism did you experience? Now listen. And they said the baptism of John. Paul said John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. And we're talking about baptisms now. And as soon as they heard this, listen, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, the Lord. and to confirm that Christian baptism is the way God wants us to be baptized now, the Bible says when Paul laid his hands on them, then the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in other tongues and prophesy. Do you see that? Once again, the Holy Spirit comes to say, baptism, water baptism, is how you fulfill all righteousness. I will confirm it. Repentance and baptism is God's method for salvation. You must repent of your sins and be baptized. God requires it. And over in the Bible, I'm just going to give you just a few references. I already read Acts chapter 2 and 36. In Acts chapter 2 and 41, responding to those who Peter said, you've got to be baptized and repent. It says, then they gladly received Peter's word and they were baptized. And there were about 3,000 people added to the church. In Acts 8 and 12, Philip was preaching to the people in Samaria about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And those that believed were baptized. Acts chapter 8 and 35, Philip was sent into the desert to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. And he explained to him what the book of Isaiah was saying, was talking about Jesus dying, that he was God's representative and the sacrifice for our sins. And in conversation, he mentioned to him about baptism. And the Ethiopian eunuch said to him, see, there's some water here. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, well, if you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may. And so the eunuch, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. I'm going to say this again. There's no place in the Bible that says you do not need water baptism to make heaven. There's no place there. If you find a scripture, let me know. But remember who is saying the scripture and where it was put. Like many people say, well, John the Baptist did a baptism of repentance. That was before Jesus died and rose from the dead. After that, everybody was baptized in the name of Jesus. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, he said, go into all the world and make disciples. What did he say? Baptizing them what? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were at the first baptism. It still has the favor of God. My question is, why aren't you baptized? I don't know a scripture in the Bible that says if you're not baptized, as Jesus says we're supposed to be, and God says, and they all confirmed it, and you've heard this message, that's okay. You're just going to waltz into heaven. You're going to make it. I don't know a scripture. Maybe somebody who's listening to this can send me a scripture. What it really does look like, Jesus told every one of his followers, you need to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. You don't have it all until you're baptized.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on Audio Messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message was called, What is Blocking the Father's Favor? And this was part two. Now let's pray with Pastor Steve.
Thank you for listening to A Place to Grow. I'm so glad for this opportunity to be able to pray with you. I don't know your needs, but God certainly knows them. So let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would bless every individual in the name of Jesus, your Holy Son. Father, you are a God of blessing. You know the needs of the people today. We believe you today in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, to meet every need. And we thank you for it in his name. Let's say amen. Thank you for listening to A Place to Grow. God bless you and keep listening.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.